All right. Well, it is time to reflect on God's word in the Psalms. And as always, we're using the Revised Grail Psalms, approved for use in the church and Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And if your translation doesn't follow along with what I'm reading, that's fine. As long, whatever Bible you have, just pick it up and open up the Psalms. Today we're looking at Psalm 119, which is the longest of all the Psalms. And it's broken down, you know, as I mentioned, with the 20 to 22 letters of the Jewish alphabet. And this one we're looking at Chet, right? The Chet strophes of Psalm 119. That's verses 57 to 64. So Psalm 119, verses 57 to 64. And what Psalm 119 is an extended reflection on the law of God. Right, on God's law, you know, which is beautiful, because the law is not just God dictating to us what we can't and can't do. It's a law of love. It's a law of relationship. It's the part of that connecting with the natural moral law, which is that part of the God's eternal law that is within us, where we can come to know who God is by reason alone. You know, and I love reflecting on the Psalms. So we're going to look at, again, the Chet strophe. And Chet, by the way, is the eighth letter of the Jewish alphabet. And you have to pronounce it that way. It's Chet. So it's, as I mentioned when I was introducing the Psalms in the early shows of Beacon of Truth, that in Hebrew there are letters that are glottal stops. So we don't have those in English. But in Hebrew they do, and so you have to really pronounce the letter from your throat. So it's chait. It sounds like you know, get ready to spit or something like that. But actually, it's the way you pronounce the word chait. And so it starts in verse 57. I have said, O Lord, my portion is to obey your words. Now this should, especially if you are paying attention to the readings at Mass this past Sunday. You remember Jesus was talking about love. All the readings were focusing on the love of God. And Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Right? Now, notice, he said, if you're going to be a slave to me, if you're going to obey me, then you obey my commandments. No. We follow God's commandments out of love because we love him. That's why we keep his commandments. Why? See, teenagers often think of directives that come from their parents like rules that inhibit their freedom. No, we give our kids rules because we love them. We give our kids rules because we love them. Don't run out in the street, you know, because they don't know, oh, the ball's out there. I'm just going to go and get it. They're not thinking, you know what? There may be a car coming down the street that's driving a little bit too fast. They may not be able to stop in time to see me. They don't have enough life experience. They don't have enough wherewithal to be able to do it. So we have to give them rules. You know, don't eat dessert first before your meal, right? Because you don't want them so filled with all the sweets and the sugar that their body's not prepared to receive healthy food. You know, so there's all kinds of rules that we give our children, not because we're trying to be the boss of them or control them, but because we love them.
Yeah, and it's proven statistically that kids need that structure. And so the thing we have to remind ourselves is that even when we feel like we're being too harsh or that we're, you know, repeating ourselves time and time again, how many times did we have to be told by our parents before it sunk in? Turn off the light when you leave the room, you know, sweep the floor when you make a mess, like all of those things. Plus, I like to remind my children they're not going to live with me forever. So at some point, you have to take this and go and raise your own children. So, you know, go be free. But learn this first, you know, so don't feel like you're being too hard on them. Just, you know, keep driving the point.
Yeah, because we're creating life lessons for them that they're going to bring into their own families one day.
Yep.
You know, and they'll see the value of that. And remember, we're God's children. So he can speak. Lord can speak to us this way because we're his children.
And he repeats himself to us often. Have you thought about that? I mean, how many times, you know, I mean, at some point he has to go, okay, we've had this talk. But I mean, I know for me personally, he has had time and time again. We've talked about this. Or if he points me back to a verse, there, to me, I see that as like a parent going, remember we talked about this? Remember we talked about this? And at some point it sinks in and you go, oh. So the only disagreement I would say with you, though, is I let my kids eat their dessert first because they're teenagers. They eat everything. So I stopped using that rule years ago because they're like, I'm going to eat all of it. I was like, okay, fine.
Well, especially if you have boys, man. They're like machines, man. Like the fridge is always empty, man. Woo! I tell you, I love that. So we continue in verse 58. With all my heart, I implore your favor. As with your promise, have mercy. Right? So God realizes, as Ace was saying, that we are children. Sometimes we're slow to pick up on things. Sometimes we need to be told things over and over again before it sinks in. Not just into our heads, but into our hearts. Where we're not just hearing the words, but the words are sinking into our hearts and we're starting to live from that word. Right? That we're starting to live from that word. And that's why God is patient. And that's why God is loving. And in here we see the psalmist asking, recognizing the merciful love of God as well. Verse 59, I've pondered my ways and turned my steps to your decrees. I made haste. I did not delay to obey your commands. So now the psalmist is reflecting on his behavior. He's reflecting on the path that he's been walking in life. You know, I could walk by myself. Or I could walk with the Lord. And he realizes, I turn my steps to your decrees. He recognizes that life is better when I walk with the Lord rather than walking by myself. When I walk with the Lord, I did not haste because he recognizes the power of walking with the Lord, even if that means walking away from the culture. You know, and Jesus says, I mean, you may have to walk away from some family members, at least for a time, you know, because the truth causes division. He said, you think I've come to bring peace? I've come to bring the sword, father against son, mother against daughter, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, right? I mean, the truth divides even families, but we still have to walk in the way of the Lord, no matter what, because that the way of the Lord will always lead us to our ultimate end, our ultimate purpose, our ultimate meaning of life. And we enter into that space and walk with the Lord when we obey his commands. You know, not our commands. I want to focus ourselves. And I say this all the time. How love really works, the idea of sacrificial love, is when you give yourself away in love is when you truly find yourself in God. You know, on Beacon of Truth, you'll hear me say that over and over again where I reflect on God's love. That's something I came up with several years ago as I was writing a talk and in adoration. You know, that's why I spent a lot of time in adoration. These things come to me. People say, where'd you get that? Or how'd you make that connection? When you take that time, that space to walk with the Lord in everyday life, but especially that time in adoration, then your will and your mind and your heart become more synced with God's will, God's mind, and God's heart. Verse 61. Though the nets of the wicked ensnare me, your law I did not forget. Look, sometimes that's why we got the sacrament of reconciliation. Sometimes we get caught up in the snare of our desires, of our passions, of our emotions, which causes us to, in a sense, separate ourselves from God. Either, you know, through venial sin, just a small separation, or a deeper separation, which requires the sacrament of reconciliation in mortal sin, a separation of us from God, the loss of sanctifying grace. You know, so sometimes we get caught up, but your law I did not forget. So even though sometimes our feelings and emotions, concupiscence takes over, you know, God has given us his spirit to allow us to come back to him. To come back to him, to recognize that the prodigal son, we recognize our weakness, we recognize our faults, and we return wholeheartedly to the Lord. I love this. At midnight, I will rise and thank you for your just decrees. You know, it's a verse like this where in the monastic tradition, monks get up in the middle of the night. And literally, the Carthusians, who follow the rule of St. Bruno, they still do this. Their day literally starts at midnight. So they take this verse seriously. And you have Cistercians or Trappists, as they're called, who usually get about 2 o'clock or 2:30 in the morning to pray matins or vigils. That's when their day starts. And then for a lot of monks, maybe it's 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. So if you have an active apostolate, it's probably a little bit later. But the idea, we all have to get up, because a lot of us have to go to work, and you're not going to get up at midnight to thank the Lord. But sometimes if you can't sleep, people say that to me all the time, you know, Deacon, I found you in EWTN because I couldn't sleep. And so I turned the channel and there you were. Great. And I'm a cure for insomnia. And then finally, oh Lord, your merciful love fills the earth. Teach me your statutes. God's omnipotence and omnipresence is not a place where he isn't, especially in our hearts.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.